And now I invite you to pray with me and to pray for me. Lord God, take my words this morning and speak through them. Take our hearts this morning and speak to them. Holy Spirit, we welcome your presence, and we invite you to bring conviction to our hearts through your living word. Give us ears to hear your voice and your guidance, Holy Spirit. We invite you to initiate healing and transformation in our lives this morning for the glory of your great name, Lord Jesus. Amen. We're going to be taking a look at Acts chapter 16. I invite you to open your Bibles to page 925 because we're going to look at a couple verses around our reading that aren't printed in your leaflet. So if you have the Blue Pew Bibles, we're on page 925. Before we get to our reading from Acts, I want to talk about a little bit of my own history. Many of you know my story, but we've got lots of new people, so many of you may not know my story. In the winter of 2004, I was 35, and I was president of a manufacturing company in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I was the third generation of my family, following my grandfather and my father, to run the company. We had 70 employees at the time. We made about 600 pairs of eyeglasses every day. And we had over $10 million in sales every year. Now, during the spring of 2005, the Lord began to speak to me and to Kim, just as we were walking through our lives, as we were worshiping in the local Episcopal church, as we were daily reading scripture and journaling, as we were going about our lives, the Lord was leading us into discussions that we never expected. What if the Lord has something different planned for us? And my response was different. Depended on who was answering the question. If I asked the question, she said, "What do you mean different?" We went back and forth on this. At the time, I'm president of the family business. This is where the Lord led us, and this is where we're supposed to be. We understood forever. But the question kept coming up, what if the Lord has something new planned for us? What would that look like? We continued for more than a month with these discussions, and as we read our Bibles, the Lord continued to reveal himself in the scriptures, that he is a God of new things, that he is a God who speaks. We got some of that from our studies of Henry Blackaby. He is a God who leads his people. He is a God who can be trusted even when you can't see where things are leading. Well, the short story is that in that window of time, I was invited to consider a job with a local Christian ministry in Pittsburgh, which seemed perfect for a person like me. They were looking for someone with faith and with business experience. We told my family that I'd be transitioning away from the company for this opportunity, and they were surprised. It hit them out of the blue. What do you mean, something else? So when the Christian ministry offered me the job, they came to my house, offered, talked to me and Kim, they left. Kim and I looked at each other. Something didn't feel right. And as we prayed that day, the Lord led me to say no to their invitation. So now we're just hanging out there. We knew the Lord was leading us away from the family business, but we didn't know where. We were wondering, did we make a mistake? We were in the dark. And as we continued to pray and process in the next week, the Lord gave us eyes to see what he had been doing for a while in the midst of our lives. And we clearly understood God had been preparing me to go to seminary. We lived in a town where we supported seminarians. That wasn't going to be one. God was clear. I was to go to seminary and pursue ordination to full-time ministry. So I retired from the business to become a full-time seminary student. I was released from our local diocese about 2 years into that process to seek a position elsewhere. There really wasn't a church in the Diocese of Pittsburgh that fit our family. In the midst of the search, we were offered two positions in two different locations, both close to the beach. One was a church in South Carolina, and one was a church in Florida. Both were very good opportunities for us, but as we prayed, the Lord clearly led us to Florida, as you can figure out. Looking back on our history, it's difficult for us to tell you exactly how the Spirit guided us. But we know that He did. It's difficult for us to quantify how we knew it was the Spirit and not just another silly idea from the back of Bill's brain. But we knew for sure that the Holy Spirit was leading us. Also looking back, we can see the blessings that the Lord gave us in this new calling that we never would have experienced had we stayed where we were. And we can also see the incredible difficulties and traumatic seasons which our calling has included. We also wouldn't have experienced those, nor the growth that God's given us through them. Hard seasons can cause doubt, and they can cause anxiety. It's knowing that the Lord led us to change careers, knowing that He continues to lead us, that gives us the hope and the peace that we need during the hard times. And it gives us grateful and thankful hearts unto Him in the good times, so that we're not so quick to say, look how great we are, but look how great God is that He would use someone like us. We see the Spirit's guidance along these same lines as we look at Acts chapter 16, as we look at the Holy Spirit's activity in the early church. So if you're on page 925, our reading, actually on 924, our reading began with verse 6 on 925. But I want to look back at the end of chapter 15. So 15 verse 36. This is where we see the Spirit guiding using difficulty and conflict and division. Verse 36, and after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are. Now Barnabas wanted to take with them John, called Mark. But Paul thought it best not to take with them the one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them in the work. And there arose a sharp disagreement, so that they separated from each other, Barnabas going with Mark and sailing away to Cyprus, Paul choosing Silas and going in a different direction. We talked about Barnabas and Paul, who was at that time still Saul, last week, where Saul had been converted to faith in Jesus, and he was in Jerusalem, and the church would have nothing to do with him. They were afraid of him. It was Barnabas that came alongside Saul and advocated for him. It was Barnabas that came alongside Saul and went with him on some journeys, discipling him as they went together. Barnabas is being Barnabas here. Now Barnabas is doing the same thing for John Mark. John Mark had abandoned the ministry. Barnabas wants to give him a second chance, where we see at verse 38, after John Mark withdrew from the missionary team. Well, Paul can't stand to be around the traitor. I don't want him with us. Sharp disagreement. And they separate. And what we read as we continue to look at the book of Acts is that the gospel continues to spread to the nations, but now you got two teams instead of one. You have Barnabas and Mark getting in their boat going to Crete, and you have Paul and Silas going in a different direction. But think about the fact that Barnabas is mentoring Mark as they go, John called Mark. What did Mark end up doing? He wrote the gospel. And when you look at a lot of the scholars, they talk about Mark as being one of the sources of the material for the other gospels. Matthew and Mark both. So It was pretty important that Barnabas pulled him aside. But there's division, and God uses it. Now, there's a slide that shows the map. So, they're over in Antioch on the right-hand side of this, and then they move through Derbe and Lystra, Iconium, then they're in the second Antioch is where they're having discussions now. Or, actually, no, it's the first Antioch, excuse me. Because Barnabas and John Mark go to Crete, the little island right there, whereas the others begin moving north. Luke talks about it like it just happened real quickly. But look at the distance that they went. We're talking possibly a month or two as they're going through this, but to Luke, it was, look at the way the gospel's spreading. But we have to keep in mind, there was some time. And now we move to the spirit guides. We mentioned the spirit guides using difficulty, conflict, and division. Now the spirit guides using methods that aren't always clear or easy to comprehend. Look at verse 6 that we just read. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. So Asia would have been the area right above the southern Antioch. How were they forbidden? We don't know. Did one of them have indigestion? Did one of them say, I don't like Asia? Did one of them have a vision? Did they have a clear sense as they prayed together, as they planned? We don't know, but what we know is that the Spirit forbid them to speak the gospel in those areas. They were just to pass through. So God obviously, at the bare minimum, had some timing issues. He wanted them to keep moving. But we know they heard. We don't know how. Verse 7, when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia. So Bithynia would have been north of the northern Antioch, up towards the northern coast in this map. They were moving in that direction. But the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. How? Again, we don't know. We just know that they knew as they were traveling, the Spirit wasn't allowing them to keep going north. Was there a flood? Was there an obstacle? Or did they just have a sense? We don't know. We know they were paying attention and the Spirit guided them. Verse 8. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. From Antioch to Troas would have been 25 to 30 days journey. Then a vision appeared to Paul in the night, a man of Macedonia. Macedonia is across the water. He's standing there urging him, come to Macedonia and help us. When Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to get to Macedonia, concluding God had preached the gospel to them. After all this journey now, Paul has a vision. You wonder, was there conflict? Are you sure? You keep saying we can't go places, but we also don't know he was the source of all of the other words from the Holy Spirit. We just know he had a vision. They trusted him as the leader. So setting sail, verse 11, from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace the following day to Neapolis. From there to where? Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. Paul wrote a letter to this church later, and it was called the Letter to the Philippians. That's right. This was an important stop. It was important that Paul got here. We remained in this city some days, and on the Sabbath, we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke with the women who had come together. And one woman named Lydia is converted. Do you think any of the group was saying, Paul, your vision was of a man. Where's the guy? What are we doing here with these women? I imagine in Jewish culture, that was probably something that would have happened. They were following the Holy Spirit. They saw God work there and begin to do a work. And then, as you continue to look at the map, they went from Philippi to Thessalonica, Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, important church. Then he went south to, we see, Athens and then Corinth, Paul's letter to the Corinthians. And then they went south to Syntyche, and then they came back across and landed in Ephesus, Paul's letter to the... It was really important that Paul and them understood the journey, because these were key churches, and his letters to those churches make up much of God's word to us about how we are to live. I'm guessing just as it was hard for me and Kim to quantify how we knew that the Spirit was guiding us, it was the same for Paul and his group. How do you know? Well, we just knew. I imagine they just knew. These scriptures speak both truth and hope to us, to you as Church of the Redeemer, as we are on this journey with the Lord, seeking His next steps for where we will land. Where is He launching us to go? We know we're not going to be here for long. Where is He leading us next? Like the Israelites, we are following the Lord. The Israelites followed the cloud, and when the cloud moved, they moved. Well, I haven't seen a cloud, but using that imagery, we can sense the cloud is moving. Your leadership senses it, and most of the congregation agrees. The cloud's moving, but where's it going? That's what I want to know. Where? I'm sure some of you are feeling anxiety. Some of you are feeling fear, might be feeling irritation. If you've been with Redeemer a long time, we're moving again. We need to remember the peace and the hope that we have. As we remember, Jesus is in charge and He is leading us. This is where we are. We know that the Lord is guiding us to where we will be, but we're not certain where that is. The Spirit will guide us. And He will guide us using methods that aren't always clear. So we need to be paying attention. We need to be communicating with one another. God will guide us by His Spirit, using our processing, using our conflict, using our division. Just because there may be conflict doesn't mean God doesn't want to use our discussions and our processes to get us to where we're going. I imagine those same conflicts did happen. We see it with Paul and Barnabas. God led them to split, and He was glorified through that. This morning, I challenge you to be praying. In your normal, everyday life, set aside times to be quiet with the Lord, to read some scripture and to pray. Acts is a great place to camp if you want to read, because the Holy Spirit was guiding them. Take time to pray. Pay attention to the promptings, to the pictures that God might give you, to the things that grab you, to what you feel and what you sense as you're praying. I use a journal, because if I don't write it down, I'm not going to remember it in 10 minutes. I also challenge you to hold on to your hope. We have a great hope that it's not up to us. We have salvation and new life in the name of Jesus Christ. We are forgiven our sins. We are members of His kingdom, and we are members of His body, the church. He has not abandoned us. He is leading us. So hold on to your hope. The Lord is on His throne. He is guiding us by His Spirit, as He has in the past. We've moved three times. This is going to be our fourth. We know He will lead us. And our supreme hope is that this is not up to us. We are to follow Him. He is Lord. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.